And set this. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be in Revelation finishing this chapter today. It's taken me 3 weeks, but that's all right. Wow, we were singing there, and I thought, can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? As Revelation depicts over and over and over, we'll be singing the song of the Lamb with untold myriads of people. Wow. You can sing out like crazy. If you sing horrible, no one will know. Of course, then we'll all be Pavarotti, right? Yeah. All right. Or maybe we'll find out that Jesus' favorite brand of music was rock and roll. We don't know. But boy, that'll get me kicked out of the church, won't it? I got a feeling we're all going to be shocked, but boy, are we going to enjoy it. All right. All right. We're going to be in Revelation 14, and our last verse is 14 through 20 today, and the scripture will be up on the screen if you do not bring a copy of the scriptures with you, beginning in verse number 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on that cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's ask God to speak to us. Father, again, our desire is for you to speak to our hearts today, to do something that we simply cannot do. To have our hearts changed. Help us to realize, Lord, there is a day coming when the sharp sickle will reach this earth and no one will escape. And those that follow the beasts will suffer eternally. And those who follow the Lamb will be finally fully redeemed. So do a work in our hearts today that only the Spirit of God can do. We pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation 14. Wow, what a chapter. When it takes you 3 weeks to get through a chapter, it probably could have taken 2 months, but aren't you blessed? You know, I had a great privilege. I don't even remember what week it is, but it was either this week or last week to go, and I picked up a 15-week-old gestation. That is a fetus between conception and birth. 15 weeks. Never done that before. And so I went to the hospital and I picked it up, and they had it wrapped in a little baby blanket. And so when I got there, you know, the nurse who does that kind of thing, they just confirmed, pulled back the blanket. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So when I got back to, you don't take a gurney for that kind of thing. I just carried it out in my arms. And when I got back to the funeral home, I said, I got to see this again. And so pulled back the blanket, and I just looked. I said, this is amazing. This is amazing. About that big. Eyes and a head and arms and hands and legs and feet, and it was a boy. Just 15 weeks. I could see through the skin, the ribs. It was absolutely amazing. And so I covered it back up. And all I could think of was, God, you're amazing. Now, for those parents that lost that, I understood they were really, you would be, right, distraught. We don't normally pick them up, but they were going to have a service for, and I know the little boy's name, and I can't say it here, but I just was amazed. God, you're amazing. How do you put together? It's just amazing to see that little bitty guy. Just amazing. And then people say it's not a real person. But I was just marveled at our Creator. He is so much beyond us. Wow. You just can't describe it. And we cannot grasp a holy God and us. And we sang Amazing Grace. Each week I'm amazed at the songs they pick because I don't send them my sermon notes. But when we talk about this, here's this holy God who's absolutely pure, and here's us sinners. He's so amazing. He's so big. He's so mighty. We do not know how far away from him we are. And he's just amazing. And so when we get to a chapter like this, all we can say is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I mentioned it before in this chapter. I can't grasp it. I can't grasp why a person who rejects Christ must spend an eternity in torment. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I believe it. It's true. I understand the theology of it. God is so holy, he cannot let sin into his presence. Yet he sent his son so you don't have to go there. The people rejected. And the heart of our Savior weeps at those who reject him. Remember as he rode into Jerusalem? And he knew all those people would reject him. He knew all those people were going to put him on a cross and murder him. But what did he do? He wept. And he's the sovereign God. He knew who God chose because he came for those, but he still wept. And there's a little bit of mystery to all that, isn't there? Well, the last part of chapter 14 builds on what we saw. I just want to review quickly. We'll have the review points up here, the next slide. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time reviewing, but I do want us to kind of see where we are so we get to the last part of this chapter. But we saw that we stand with the Lamb victorious. You see, you and I as God's people living in the world that the beast runs and controls, we need as the church encouraged. We need to be reminded. So before we get into the last part of this book, Revelation, which again is we're living it now. There's more to come, but we're living it now. This is not all about what happens in the future, and it doesn't affect us at all. That just doesn't work when you study all of Scripture. So we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged, and that's what's going on here in chapter 14, but also the world is being challenged. So we found out in the first five verses that there's this vision of heaven, and the Lamb stood there, and the Lamb stood with the 144,000, a word for the Jewish church, or the Jewish people and the church combined, I believe, God's people, 12 times 12, 144,000. It is God's complete people. Not one person's left out. You may say, well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't know if God's going to let me into heaven. Every single redeemed person is there. That's what this is saying. And they're singing this amazing song, and there's all this sound of thunder and music and harps and singing this song that only followers of the Lamb know. And we follow the Lamb. We stand with the Lamb because of him. We follow the Lamb because of him. That's how you know you're his child. Not because you signed in your Bible, I walked an aisle June the 12th, 1945. But because every day you see yourself as a follower of the Lamb. That's the proof of your salvation. Nothing else in the Bible. We know the theological truths of the cross, of condemnation, of sanctification, of propitiation, all those big words. And those are awesome and true. They encourage us. But if you are not following the Lamb, you need to seriously make sure you're his child. So that's what followers of the Lamb do. So we stand with the Lamb. Second, we looked at when you die, and you're going to die, right? Did you think you were going to die this week? I did. Sometimes, right? Yeah. We die victorious. Not only do we stand with the Lamb, we die with the Lamb victorious. So verses 6 to 13, we saw these angels flying around and they're sharing the eternal gospel, which is good news for the church who's persecuted. It's bad news for the world. So the eternal gospel on one hand is great, but it's bad news. It's a gospel of judgment we saw in verses 6 and 7. We saw that Babylon, which is a word really to describe the beast and every worldly power and person that goes with Satan and the philosophy of the prince and the power of the air, they're going to fall, verse 8. Don't follow the world. It doesn't last forever. It's going to end. We'll see that later in the end of Revelation. It has a great influence. It causes the world to follow its sinful passions. Another angel showed up in verse 9 and talked about if you follow the beast, not an injection in your arm or a credit card or anything like that, if you follow the world and the pattern of the world and Satan and this invisible mark 666, which is shy of God 777, you are going to suffer. You will drink, verse 10, God's wrath. It'll be poured out, not halfway in wine, but full-strength wine into the cup of his anger. Yes, God can be angry. Our world doesn't like an angry God. We like a loving God who just pats us on our back. If you're Hitler, you may go to hell, but not you. No, he has a cup of anger. And not only will you be tormented, you will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb of God. What a horrible suffering, not only the pain and suffering of the fire. And by the way, scholars believe that even fire is symbolic, and I tend to agree, but hold on, don't throw me in the fire. But all through Scripture, what is hell and the lake of fire described as? Smoke and fire. And if it is symbolic, it's worse than fire. What's worse than fire? Have you ever been burnt a little bit? So I say, yes, it is fire, it is smoke, it's torment, and it's going to last forever. There's no relief, it'll never end. Satan will be there, the false prophets will be there, everybody that followed the beast will be there, but his holy angels, I picture them flying around, and there they can see the Lamb of God they rejected. And I think they're going to hate him even worse. But yet you and I that follow the Lamb will die victorious. Look at verse 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. And remember, the Holy Spirit said, oh, blessed indeed. Again, it's like eating and they say, I made this wonderful dessert. And somebody said, oh, a wonderful dessert indeed. The Spirit said, you don't know what's coming. I just love that. Blessed are you when you die. Now, I would not necessarily walk into your family if you died and said, hey, you're blessed. I would say that later in the right context. But you're blessed when you die in the Lamb. Those who follow the world and the beast are not blessed. They're going to torment. But you who have been persecuted and followed the Lamb in this world, and it was hard and you suffered and your family turned on you and you lost jobs because of it, and sometimes they were killed and thrown in prison, you die blessed. Oh, blessed indeed. You do not have any idea what we are going to have in heaven. It's indescribable. And you will rest from your labors. Your alarm clock will never go off at 5:45 a.m. again. And I thought I'd get a shout and a flip in the pew right there. You're going, go back an hour, 4:45 a.m. And you will finally rest and no more fighting sin. And you will be rewarded. Your deeds will follow you. Now we've arrived in verses 14 to 20, which is our next point here. Protected from the Lamb, victorious. In a very real sense, you and I need protected from God, right? Because we're sinners. We need protected from this Lamb. This Lamb isn't out in the field that's going, bah, bah. Horrible, you know, imitation there, but we need protected from the Lamb, victorious. Verses 14 to 20. So our Father provided a way of protection. He gave us his Son. He gave us the Lamb to protect us from himself, because his holy justice requires judgment upon our sin. So he was not caught off guard. Before the foundation of the world, he chose some to believe in him among all who deserved hell. He chose to send his lamb to die. He was not caught off guard. God did not look down and say, whoops, you know, he and Jesus and the Holy Spirit weren't playing Chinese checkers and looked down and said, oh my goodness, Satan went down there and deceived Adam. What am I going to do? It was all planned. There's a mystery to that, but there's no tension with God. And it was planned to provide the lamb to protect us from the lamb, protect us from the Father. And it's a victorious protection. Now, if I were the judge on the very last day, I could not throw anybody into hell. Now, honestly answer that. Don't shake. Well, you can shake your head if you want. Could you? Could you really? Now, you might go, Lord, can I put this guy in there for like an hour? You know, this guy really was a thorn in my side. How about a day and a half for this guy? I don't think I could. I just don't think I could do it. But I'm not God, and I'm not perfectly holy. And there's going to be a harvest where some are harvested and taken into God's barns into heaven, and some are harvested and taken to burn. And we'll see that. But I don't think I could do it. I know I couldn't. And if I possibly could do it, what would it be based on? Emotion, wouldn't it? It'd be based on my emotions. And I think I said last week, if somebody came into my house and murdered my wife and my one child that lives there and my grandson and the dog, the cat would kill. For the church, but a horrible, eternal, tragic event that never ends for those that reject Jesus Christ. What a vivid illustration. And notice in verse 20, our last verse, it's, where is this done? Outside the city. Now, if you know your Bibles, that ought to ring a bell, ding, 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 to you. When you were put outside the city, that means it's a complete and rejection of this person. Complete and total rejection of this person. You are put outside the city. Remember back in the Day of Atonement where one lamb was symbolically holding all the sins? Remember that? Where was that lamb sent? Go outside the city. The other lamb was what? Murdered. The Lamb of God was not only murdered, he was sent outside the city. Remember that? This is depicting total rejection. If you reject the Lamb of God, you are absolutely separated from God. You are outside the city. After a million years, God doesn't say, Jesus, have you had enough? Spirit, what do you think? You think they've had enough? Never to end. Never, ever end. Never. Total annihilation. Total separation. You are bearing the guilt and shame of sin. Hebrews 13:12. He was murdered outside the city. And again, it's not grape juice. It's blood that's splattered everywhere. And notice this interesting, I think it's symbolic, in verse 20. How high is the blood? 1,600 stadia. Well, we have no idea what that is now, do we? And they said, no, Pastor Tim, we have no idea. Please tell us. Hey, well, I'm going to give you a pretty good idea. It's about, it's about 180 miles. And I wished I had written it down. But I believe that this is one of the dimensions of the city of Israel. So I'll have to look that up again. Maybe I can clarify that. But I think what it really means, and that might be partially true there, it's symbolic for letting us know this is bad. This is deep and wide. Symbolically, this is blood everywhere. And I thought this was an interesting possibility. Are you ready for some math? The square of 4 is what? 16. Not the square root, but the square of 4 is 16. So we have 1,600, right? 1,000 in Scripture is also a number of totality and completeness. So you add the square of 4 and 1,000, you come up with what? 1,000 plus 1,600, right? Anyway, just if I did that wrong, just don't worry about it. Okay? I'm never claiming to be a math scholar, okay? 1,600 stadia. Symbolic for what? The entire earth. Four corners of the world. 1,000. Have you ever said, use the word 1,000 like symbolically? I've told them kids 1,000 times. By the way, that's a horrible sentence. I told them kids. Okay, but I'm sorry. I've told him 1,000 times. We use 1,000 all the time symbolically. So does Scripture. So symbolically, this is the entire world, the four corners of the earth, complete 1,000. It's bad. No one runs and hides. Oh my goodness, the Lamb is coming. I'm going to go in my closet and he won't find me. It's bad. It's horrible. It's bad. Let's try to make some application. We'll be done. I just have four of them. First of all, just kind of reminding us, who you follow proves who owns you. Who you follow proves who owns you. Remember in the first part of chapter 14? They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That's how you know you're God's child. When he takes you into trouble, he takes you into hardship, we talked about that. When he takes you into persecution, when he takes you into a season of life that's hard, when he takes you into a season of life that's joyful, when he takes you through death, when he takes you through the shadow of death, when he takes you through physical suffering, when he takes you through times that are dark and cloudy and you simply cannot see what's ahead. This is how you know you're a Lamb follower. You follow him wherever he goes. Is that you? Is that you and me? This idea of praying a prayer and signing on the dotted line, oh, it just drives me crazy. How many people think they're on their way to heaven who are dark and lost? My mommy's saved. My daddy's saved. My dad's a preacher. Mom and dad have always gone to church. I go to church at Christmas. No. How do you know you're born from above? Who you follow proves who owns you. In their mouth is found no lie. They're blameless. You're not perfect and I'm not perfect. But the pattern of our life is like the Lamb. That's the assurance the Scripture says. It reminds me of what James said. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. You visit the orphans, you visit the widows in their affliction, and you keep yourself unstained from who? The world. The beast, right? Isn't that the beast, the world? James said it. How do you know you're a follower of the Lamb? You're not perfect. You're going to fail. But you're pure and undefiled because your life is different. You love people. You care for people. You do the hard things. And you're unstained from the world. Who owns you? Secondly, these are all very closely connected, by the way. Who you follow continues after this life on earth. We tend to think that this is it. Who you follow continues after this life on earth. I heard a guy at the funeral home this week who was... He's talking about, yeah, I got my investments and I got hundreds of thousands of dollars. I got a few more years to put in and I'm set for life. And I don't know if he's a believer or not, but just from that kind of language, I kind of figured, you're set for life? If you're not a believer, I got more than you got because of grace. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? I'm set for life. Are you? Are you set for life? Something happens when your last breath takes place. You keep going. Or your body's going to be here. We're going to come by the funeral and cry over you and, you know, and tell our body how wonderful we thought you were. You're not in there. You're in one of two places. Your spirit's either in torment or blessed because you died in Christ. Who you follow now continues after this life on earth. It'll either be torment of God's wrath in the presence of the Lamb with no rest day or night, or it'll be a wonderful blessing and the Spirit says, oh, blessed indeed. Someone brought a cherry delight pie this week at the funeral home. Oh my. And then I had plans, okay? Because there was a service like at 6 or 7 and I thought, when everybody's in the service, I'm going back there. And I was going to get a cookie. But I got a feeling I'm going to cut me a slice of cherry delight. Doggone it, if they didn't sit back there, some of them during the service. I was totally distraught. I can't believe it. I went in and told the funeral director, I can't believe it. My plans got foiled. So I had to settle for a little snack I had in my bag. And oh, blessed indeed. It's going to be greater than cherry delight or banana split cake or See, I can do this when we have church at 9 because lunch is way far away, right? I just love that. Blessed when you die, if you follow the Lamb here, wherever he takes you, hardship, persecution, death, jail, whatever it is that believers have faced, you will continue to follow him after you are dead. And the Spirit says, oh, you cannot imagine heaven. You see, the Spirit said that long before the guy that wrote the song, I Can Only Imagine. And by the way, every great song is just taken from Scripture, right? Okay, third and two more points. We're done. Who you follow either protects you from God's wrath or guarantees God's wrath. You will be harvested. You will be gathered in one of two places. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and he'll gather his wheat into the barn. So if you're a farmer, you love this. You connect with this. God has a pretty amazing barn. It's red, you know, and it's out there in the field. There's no tobacco sign on it, right? Remember those? Yeah. And you're his. And he will protect you from the wrath of the Lamb and from his wrath. And he will gather you and he'll bring you home. Think of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. Can you just imagine that? Oh, I'm home. Not because of anything I did, but because my Lamb gathered me into his barn forever and ever. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. But if you're not saved today, the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. It'll never be quenched. It'll never stop. So what about you today? When your last breath comes, will you be gathered into his barn, the resurrection? Or will you be gathered into unquenchable fire? Have you repented of your sin? Are you a new creation? Who are you following? What's most important to you? Does your life look like Jesus? Oh, you'll never be like Jesus totally, right? But do you see Jesus just a little bit? Are you different from those people at work? Oh, what an awakening I've had the last month and a half. Jesus, these people need redeemed. My goodness, you walk by a break room, all you hear is, I try to tell them how it should be done, and I can't believe it. Did you believe she did that? Did you believe he did that? I can't believe they did. Oh, they do it every, it's the third week in a row they've done that. I'm just walking by going, God, thank you for delivering me from that. Don't let me ever get to that point. Gee whiz. Do you see a follower in the Lamb in you? Because who you follow guarantees. There is no begging like in Matthew 7. Lord, I did this, I did this. Spirit of God, did he do that back in May of 1987? He did. Well, okay, come in, but don't tell anybody else. I let you into heaven. There's no reprieve. And the last one, 4, who you follow causes you to want others to follow also. That's interesting, is it not? We're almost done. Hang on. I want you to listen to Proverbs 4 real quick. Unbelievers are not content unless they get people to follow them. Proverbs 4:16. They cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone else stumble. Unbelievers just desire to get people to follow them. They want you to be like them. They want you to join in and do what they do. They cannot rest until that. And if I can find 1 Peter 4, which I just did, listen to this. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. The time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. They live in sensuality, live in passions, they live in drunkenness, they live in orgies, drinking parties, and the lawless idolatry. That's the beast, the world. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they speak evil against you. They see you don't follow them. They try to get you to follow them and you don't, and they're surprised and they put you down. That's persecution. You see, those who follow the beast want you to follow them. They want you to join in their party and they want you to join in that way. But shouldn't we desire the same? We follow the Lamb. Verse number 4 here, verse 5. Let's see. Verse 5, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. This is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the same way God does. So we preach the gospel. We desire for those to follow us because we know their eternity is not good. Even though we can't understand holiness and how far we are away from God, now in Christ we're brought to him, right? That's what the word reconcile in the Bible means. We've got to believe it with unbelievers. And we've got to believe with all of our heart that those we work with and our family and our neighbors and our friends, without Christ, this is what they'll face. So we should desire that they follow our Lamb. And we should pray that God will save their soul. And God will spare them from eternal torment. And let God handle the mystery of it all, right? Because I cannot cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Can you? You can't. Again, tell me how God had no beginning. We'll start with you. But it's not tension with God. It's tension with us, but not with God. Father, this is an awakening chapter. It's a stirring chapter. Somehow help us to believe hell is real. Increase our prayers for our family, our friends. Give us boldness to share Christ. Maybe we write a letter. Send an email. Whatever it is, give us a heart for those who are lost. If there are any here today, Lord, only you can show them they're not truly saved. It's been just sort of a game. Thank you, God, for your glory. We cannot fully grasp why sin is so bad. It must be punished forever and ever. We can't, because we cannot grasp your holiness. Help us to believe it. Lord, for those of us that follow the Lamb, use us to reach others. And Lord, we humbly thank you for the promise that you will gather us into your barn forever and ever. Unimaginable blessedness and peace and joy. So help us to endure. Use us while we wait. Use us to reach those who are lost in this neighborhood, in this city, whomever you put around us. Give us a boldness to share the gospel in love. May this tiny little church on this corner in this small city, we're not flashy, we're not big, we don't have what the world sees as success, but we have what you see as success, the gospel of the Lamb of God. We have as much power as any church ever because we have the Lamb, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Help us to believe that. And use us, use every church in this city to have an impact on those who face an eternity of darkness and torment. So change us today. In Christ's name, amen.